Let's get this one done so I can just go home and go to bed. What's up? This is Movies On Up. They came to a country to plant their dreams. Now they're prepared to die for them. Seated across from me is a man who is always prepared to die for me. That is Mr. Dave Bisella.
I just need the escape.
The sweet, sweet release. That is Mr. Dave. I am Ryan. We are Movies On Up. That tagline, again, is they came to a country to plant their dreams, and now they're prepared to die for them. Is lengthy. If you can figure out what movie, the movie title is actually much shorter. It's just two words. If you can figure out what movie that comes from, send your guess to us in one of the following ways. You can email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guess on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup. Or you can get at us on the Twitter, @moviesonup, with your guest. If you are correct and if we choose you, we will send you a prize package that people will literally kill for. And, which is news to me, everyone that enters between now, November, and the end of the year. So you have 2 months to enter our prize package competitions. Even if you don't win for this particular episode, we're going to leave your name in. And at the end of the year, we're picking somebody's name. It could be a winner, so maybe you could double down. Maybe not, but somebody is going to win a giant cornucopia of Movies On Up prizes, which will probably just be a lot of buttons, a lot of pins.
I found a whole box of VHS out in my garage.
Spoiler alert, that's what it's going to be. And I have a spoiler alert for Dave. He's going to be the one that ships that out, because I can only imagine what is going to happen when I take that thing to the UPS store. Wait, what are you sending? Do they want these?
No, it'll be more than VHS and pins.
I'll be a pop figure in there, realistically.
Maybe.
More than VHS and pins is what we have in store for you today. We are going to be giving you our favorite Julia Roberts movies, not just because she is America's sweetheart, but because she stars opposite Jacob Tremblay and Owen Wilson this week in Wonder. And we got to wondering, have we ever done a list episode on Julia Roberts? And as it turned out, the answer is no. And it's a little too soon to do Jacob Tremblay. So we decided...
And plenty of time to do Owen Wilson.
Yeah. So we thought now would be as good a time as any to do our five favorite Julia Roberts movies.
It'd be
movies.
Easier for me to do Owen Wilson than a Jack Black episode, which is coming later this year.
Not Owen Wilson, Jack Black. I don't think I have any Jack Black movies on my list this week. Julia Roberts is one that I assumed this was going to be a very easy list to do, and I thought I would have a ton of also-rans. As it turns out, I do not. I do like my five Julia Roberts movies, but she makes a lot of movies that are not for me.
Yeah, she had her wheelhouse that she was in that wasn't for me either.
Right.
I got my five. I'm pretty happy with my five. I got four also-rans. One of them I don't.
It's a movie.
I don't consider it a Julia Roberts movie, but she's in it, and she's in like fourth or fifth build. But I like my movies.
What is your number five movie that you just like? After that ring endorsement, I can't wait to hear what it is.
My number five is the classic from 1991, directed by Joseph Rubin, starring Julia Roberts, Sleeping with the Enemy. I like the ending where she calls the cops and she's like, I just shot an intruder in my home. And she shoots him. Spoiler alert on 1991's Sleeping with the Enemy. I saw this in the theater. I don't know why. 12-year-old me, was it Sleeping
she's
with
America's
the Enemy?
Sweetheart.
That ending was dope. I absolutely loved that ending. I don't remember much else from the movie. And for some reason in my head, I don't know why, and I know it's not true, but in my head, the love interest in this movie is always Eric Roberts, which I know is not true. But when I think of like creepy, stalkery ex-husband, I think of Eric Roberts.
And that would be creepy.
Yeah, but it's actually Patrick Bergen. I just really like that ending. And that's Zach and Mary Make a Porno. There was a line about the ending in that. It's just a Seth Rogen line where it just randomly comes up. He's like, yeah, that ending's awesome. And Elizabeth Banks like, yeah, she's like, oh, I shot it. And like, it's such a small throwaway, but like watching that movie, I was like, oh my God, that's 100% true. That's my fifth favorite Julia Roberts movie, only for that ending. That's
and
what
that's
I said.
Exactly what he said at the time.
That's what I said to the movie as I was watching it.
My fifth favorite Julia Roberts movie of all time, I don't think was mentioned, in Zach and Mary Make a Porno. It is Mike Nichols's Charlie Wilson's War from 2007, starring Tom Hanks, Julia Roberts, and Philip Seymour Hoffman. Kind of think that this is a pretty important story. It's adapted by Aaron Sorkin from a novel by George Crilly. It follows the story of Charlie Wilson, who turned himself from a playboy politician into the guy that helped the Mujahideen defeat the Soviets in Afghanistan in 1980, along with a little bit of help from John J. Rambo, if we're being perfectly honest. And that sounds great, until you get to the end of the movie, when Wilson expresses his concern over the U.S. abandoning the country in the 1990s, leaving the door open for what would become the Taliban to take over, and we kind of know how that worked out. It's not a stretch to say that this movie starts with ridiculous partying and ends with 9/11. Not exactly a party, though the ending was softened for the movie from the book. As the title would suggest, this is a movie pretty much dominated by two characters, one of which being Charlie Wilson, that's Tom Hanks, and Philip Seymour Hoffman's CIA agent is kind of the other, I think, main takeaway from this movie. And Hoffman was nominated for Best Supporting Actor, so I wasn't the only one that thought he did a really outstanding job in this movie. But the linchpin, I think, of the movie is Julia Roberts. She's the one that introduces Charlie Wilson to his cause, or what would become his cause. And it seems like she's the one that really motivates him to continue with the project. And as great of an actress as Roberts is, I think that her greatest strength has sort of always been her relatability. She's not usually the loudest or the largest character actor in the movie. And she's, I mean, Tom Hanks is playing a character and Philip Seymour Hoffman, that's just what he did. But she's just able to give the audience someone to relate to in a movie. She's kind of the stand-in for all of us as a person in an extraordinary situation, which we wouldn't find ourselves in, but you could see yourself reacting the same way she would.
Julia Roberts seems to have a lot of those movies where it's just like, at one point, she was the biggest movie star in the world. And then I feel like she transitioned into, oh my God, Julia Roberts is in a movie with Tom Hanks? Like, that's huge. And you had that in 2001 with Gore Verbinski's The Mexican. Oh my God, Julia Roberts is in a movie with Brad Pitt, who was also at the peak that time. So you have the two of them in a movie that's right up my alley, where Brad Pitt worked for the mob. They tell him he can't leave the mob. Julia Roberts is his girlfriend, who tells him he has to leave the mob. And they're trying to transport a gun with a curse from Mexico back to the mob. James Gandolfini, who I'll watch in anything, is so good in this movie. It's not a good movie. Brad Pitt, Julia Roberts, James Gandolfini, Bob Balaban, J.K. Simmons, Gene Hackman, David Krumholtz. Like, the cast in this
movie.
It's
a great cast. It really deserves better.
Yeah, it deserves a lot better. It reminds me of Ridley Scott's The Counselor, where it's like, oh my God, this cast is awesome. It's a crime movie. Like, this is for me. I think The Mexican is better than The Counselor, though.
Well, that's not setting the bar
saying
real
much.
High.
It's got its tongue-in-cheekness to it. I mean, it's something I'd like to rewatch. Like, I watched The Mexican right when it came out, and I haven't seen it since. So it's something that I'd like to rewatch. I'll probably like it less than my memory of it, but any chance to see Gandolfini, I'm signing up for.
Any chance to watch a Mike Nichols movie, I'm pretty much signing up for, as is going to be evident when I tell you my number four is also a Mike Nichols movie. It is from 2004. It's Closer, starring Julia Roberts, Jude Law, Clive Owen, and Natalie Portman. I feel like I've talked a lot about Closer over the past couple years. It's because I really like the movie. The soundtrack is great, which is one of the first things that I always think of. It's where I was introduced to Damien Rice, and I still enjoy his music to this day. And the acting is phenomenal. Both Natalie Portman and Clive Owen were nominated for Best Supporting here. And I've mentioned before, when you talk about this movie, it's the chemistry of the four leads that is either going to make or break the movie. And most often, they're sort of acting in pairs. It's everything in this movie. If the actors can't pull off the tension and the strain in these relationships, you don't have a movie. This is the second Mike Nichols movie to make this particular list. And despite having, I say, only directed 22 movies, the guy worked for a long time. But I love quite a few of them. The Graduate is one of my all-time favorites. And it's the movie he won his only Oscar for. He also did Postcards from the Edge, which over the past year with the death of Carrie Fisher has, I've gained a whole new appreciation for. You add in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf and The Birdcage, Silkwood, Working Girl. The guy had some...
What planet are you from?
What planet are you from? The guy had some really, really iconic movies, and I don't...
Wolf?
Yes.
Which I found on VHS in my garage. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, part of your prize
Working
package.
Girl?
Yeah, that one I did mention. I don't think he gets the run that he deserves, and with his death in 2014, I don't see that changing anytime soon. But I've talked a lot about Closer. Yeah, those movies are great. Julia Roberts is really good in it. I think she's kind of the most... normal
character.
Yeah, I
was just going to say, she's the most...
The least fucked up?
She's the one that has the least to do
yeah.
in this one, but she delivers. Because obviously Natalie Portman is a stripper and like
yes.
everything else. Like
obviously.
Most actresses would take this role and just kind of be there and let the movie happen around them. She still lets the movie happen around, but elevates everything. And she's really, really good for really... comparatively to everybody else not
right.
having that much to work with.
Yeah, her storyline wasn't as, I guess, flashy as some of the other ones. Like, Natalie Portman's a stripper, but she's got some other things going on that adds intrigue to her character. Julia Roberts is the most vanilla of the characters. To make her character compelling, it's really more on her as an actress. But yeah, we talk about that movie a lot, how the acting is wonderful, but like it occurred to me that we've never... really stopped and talked about Mike Nichols. And if we don't right now, like my list started off with two Mike Nichols movies, if not now, when? So I decided now.
I mean, I've tried to bring up What Planet Are You From any chance I get.
That's true.
So I've done
You've
my
done
part.
Your part, yeah. We've done our part now.
My number three is, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's the most recent on either of our lists. It's from 2015, directed by Billy Ray. Starring Chiwetel Ejiofor, Nicole Kidman, Julia Roberts, Dean Norris, Alfred Molina, Joe Cole, Zoe Graham, ton of people in this movie. Secret in Their Eyes. I feel like this movie just kind of came and went. I remember touching it briefly on our fall preview that year, but I don't remember it actually coming out.
It was a well-kept secret.
Yeah, kept secret from your eyes. I stumbled across it on Amazon the one time. It was on like Cinemax or Showtime or something. It's really good. It's a Chiwetel movie. You put Chiwetel in the lead of almost anything, and I'm into it. But Nicole Kidman's really good. It's another one of those, like, Closer, where on the surface, I mean, she has her moments. The whole thing is they're all FBI agents. They find her daughter dead in a dumpster. That scene where they first find her, Chiwetel and Julia Roberts put on a damn clinic. That is such a well-acted scene. The rest of the movie, it's mostly Chiwetel. And from there, Julia Roberts doesn't really have anything to work. Like, that doesn't have much. She's just kind of given up on everything. It leads up to a really good ending. Like, I really like the movie. It could come off as kind of hokey or kind of lame. And I feel like with somebody with lesser talent than Kidman and Ejiofor and Roberts in these roles, I feel like it just falls flat and it's nothing. But with them, there's enough there to keep it going. I like the movie.
These are the three that I thought of first. And my number three is actually the one that I like sort of the most. And it's one of these movies that just has been coming up organically a lot lately. And that is 1991's Hook, directed by Steven Spielberg, starring Robin Williams, Dustin Hoffman, and Julia Roberts. Like I mentioned, this has been on a lot of lists. But when doing a Julia Roberts list, like, I can't leave this movie off. I think that at some point, every movie I've had on this list has made another list. They haven't made it with the frequency that Hook has. But if you do somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 lists a year over 5 years, that stuff is just going to happen. And if you add in the fact that Julia Roberts is kind of a big deal, she's a big movie star, so a lot of her movies are going to kind of be on multiple lists. And I think that 1993 was kind of the crest of that wave, or maybe just on the upside of her becoming America's sweetheart. I think she is absolutely the third highest billed person in this movie. It is a Robin Williams movie. Just after that, a Dustin Hoffman movie. And they're both wonderful.
I even argue it's a Steven Spielberg movie before
sure.
it's a Julia Roberts movie.
Yeah. Right. The actors specifically are given a lot to work with, and they're much, much larger than life characters. And this is very much a from the imagination of Steven Spielberg kind of movie. I think the male leads are really, really fun to watch in this movie, but Julia Roberts is great, too. as the left behind Tinkerbell. She's, I think, a great choice, especially at that point in her career, to play one of Disney's all-time great characters. And I'm pretty sure that Julia Roberts in this movie was responsible almost single-handedly for the pixie cut making a nice comeback in the early 90s.
See, this was why I also ran. I like the movie, but I've always had a thing for Tinkerbell, and I didn't like her as Tinkerbell in this movie. Hashtag not my Tinkerbell. She was fine, but it's just not the Tinkerbell that I fantasize about. But it's a fun movie.
Who is your Tinkerbell, Dave?
There's a lot.
Everyone but Julia Roberts.
Kristen Bell comes to mind. She hasn't played her, but I could see her dressed up. Like, when I think about her dress as Tinkerbell, it's like, yeah, that works. There's a lot. Julia Roberts would maybe make top 100. I've put a lot of thought into this.
Yes,
you put
you
me
have.
On the spot. My number two from 1998, directed by Chris Columbus, starring Julia Roberts, Susan Sarandon, and Ed Harris. It's Stepmom. Susan Sarandon and Ed Harris are split up. Julia Roberts is the hot young girlfriend who the kids really, really like. And it sounds like the setup to a Will Ferrell movie, kind of. It has that premise. Like, that's just what Will Ferrell movies are now. But it's a really, like, deep, heartfelt Julia Roberts movie. She's not the bad guy, but that's how Susan Sarandon sees her. Movies like this are so often over the top, where you have one, either the stepmom's just really, really evil with ulterior motives, or the real mom is just crazy and nuts. This one does a good job of, you can see where both of them are coming from, where Julia Roberts just likes Ed Harris, enjoys the kids, and she just happens to be younger and cooler than Susan Sarandon. But Susan Sarandon's still their mom, so it's really good. It's really well done. It takes a premise that you can easily mess up. And I feel like, I mean, Chris Columbus, he's got a pretty good resume. So he handles it very well. It's not a slapsticky comedy when it could have been. I would say it's not too sappy. I think it's just sappy enough, but it's really good. And Ed Harris is good. And I really love it. And this is the Julia Roberts I love. Her in this movie, obviously there's the big ones that you think of when you think of her, but like, this might be one of my favorite Julia Roberts characters. Everything good about Julia Roberts is on display in this movie without overdoing it, where some of her romantic comedies are like taking what's good about Julia Roberts and then cranking it up. This plays it just right, and it doesn't feel like a rom-com. It doesn't feel like a slap. It's just really good. The tone, I think, is different than it was marketed as. It's a legit really good movie.
My number two is also a movie that, and I can cite an example of a movie that took a premise like this or a type of movie like this and made a really almost nauseatingly boring version of. But given a good director like Steven Soderbergh, he was able to make Aaron Brockovich in 2000 and do a really fine job with Julia Roberts and Albert Finney. I think that this is probably her quote-unquote best movie. It's also the one she won an Oscar for. The problem is, I just don't like it as much as I like my number one. I don't like it as much as I like my number three either, but I was kind of just splitting the difference, saying, all right, I mean, I guess if we're going to do a Julia Roberts list, this probably has to be on there somewhere, and it should probably be pretty high because, you know, it was a well-deserved Oscar win. Like I said, what makes this movie stand out for me is that while it was a legal thriller, quote-unquote, about poisoned water, Soderbergh and Roberts still managed to make you care about the people involved. If you look at something like A Civil Action from a couple years before, great cast, John Travolta, Robert Duvall, who I believe was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for that movie, Tony Shalhoub, William H. Macy, great cast, total snooze fest. But it's Roberts' ability to play a character, this time it was a real person. Who is a character. But make that character relatable to all of us. Like, we know that woman, so you're able to watch that and not even necessarily feel like you're watching a movie. It's more like it is a biopic, but a biopic about someone that we can relate to. And to make this movie pop, to make it as successful as it was, that main character had to be compelling and had to be relatable. Those are two things that she is.
This was one of my also-rans. It was hard to leave off just because I love Soderbergh.
And she won an Oscar.
And she won an Oscar for it. And she's really, really good in it. And Albert Finney is phenomenal in this. As good as Julia Roberts is in this movie, I almost think Albert Finney steals the screen when he's on it. This one is just one of those where everything works out, where Erin Brockovich is a fascinating person. She's a great, like, character. She has this great story where she came from nothing. So you have this great character involved in a great story. Soderbergh,
it's an underdog story,
is perfect at telling those kind of stories. And then Julia Roberts is perfect to bring that to life. And it just all clicked. Everything worked. I don't always like these kind of movies that much. And it's just one of those scenarios where everything was right for each other. Everything clicked. It's really, really good. It was one of my also-rans, but I left it off. My number one, I think, is the first movie anybody will think of when you think of Julia Roberts, from 1990, directed by Joel Schumacher. It is Flatliners, with Julia Roberts, Kiefer Sutherland, Kevin Bacon, William Baldwin, Oliver Platt, Hope Davis. I legit love Flatliners. I know it's not a good movie. I know that it's silly and it's goofy and it's not good, but I know I love it. And I think that's why I was so against the remake, because this did everything naturally. You have your young hip cast, but they weren't trying to make like a young hip movie. They just took this young hip cast and put them in this scenario that it's going to sound weird. It's kind of relatable, where you have stuff from your past that might come back to haunt you. You know, you don't have to put yourself to death to find it. And this is right when she's on the cusp. This is Julia Roberts making that turn. I mean, obviously, this isn't the movie that launched her, but you see, she's really good in this. It's not the greatest script. It's not the greatest movie. She's fascinating in it. Her and Kiefer are really, really good in this movie. I think her and Kiefer, and I think even Oliver Platt, like, I'd give him some love. I think they're really, really good in this mediocre movie. Joel Schumacher makes this something. And then that cast, like, it's one of those where a lesser director with a young hip cast, like, it's probably going to blow, especially if it's remade later with a lesser director and like a young hip. I love the cast of the new one, but I just have no interest in it because it's not going to capture this magic.
My number one, I think there's a lot of movies that maybe the movie that you think of when you think of Julia Roberts, if it's not Flatliners, maybe it's Pretty Woman, but that's a prime example of a movie that's not necessarily made for Dave and I.
A handful of them.
Yeah.
My Best Friend's Wedding.
Yeah.
Runaway Bride, Pretty Woman. Like, she had a run of
those. Osage County. Like, there's a lot that she's been in that weren't necessarily made for us. But that doesn't mean that there aren't movies that we like of hers. And my number one is a movie that she's in. She's in it along with George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, Andy Garcia. It is Steven Soderbergh's Ocean's 11 from 2001. It's not a Julia Roberts movie. Like I said, she's fifth in line on the poster, and that's how I listed and read the actors. Like, she just makes it. She's stuffed behind Andy Garcia's shoulders. On the other hand, this is my favorite movie that she has been in. If Pretty Woman's not made for us, Ocean's 11 kind of is. We like heist movies. This is a really cool heist movie, and we talk about all the time how much we love crime movies and heist movies. This isn't a gritty crime movie. This is kind of a light. They're not hardened criminals. Oh, look at those scamps just robbing three casinos in Vegas. I hope they get away with it because they're fun-loving guys, this Danny Ocean and his crew. Sure, money is the motive for holding up these casinos, but if you think that there wasn't a personal level for Clooney's Danny Ocean to knock off Andy Garcia's casino for shacking up with his ex-wife, then you have no concept of how the male mind works. And again, you know, Julia Roberts is just kind of the linchpin, sort of, in the movie. Yes, everybody, especially everybody not named Danny Ocean, they wanted the money. He wanted to prove a point, and Julia Roberts can pull that off. Yes, she's very relatable, but you can also see somebody like George Clooney really willing to do some outstanding things to try and just get her back. It takes a really interesting person to be able to play that girl next door, which she did for years and years and years, but also like, oh yeah, I could totally see everyone in Vegas wanting to be with this woman, like George Clooney, Andy Garcia, these rich, powerful men. She can pull both of those off almost at the same time. And that's almost unique to her. There's a lot of actresses that can, oh yeah, of course she's going to be the most attractive woman in any given room. And then you have your girl next door hot, but Julia Roberts can and often does do both.
I didn't realize she didn't come back for the third one. She's not in Ocean's 13.
Yeah, they keep adding people, and of the 13, she's not one of them.
Yeah. Did you have any also-rans that we didn't? Confessions of a Dangerous Mind is there, but I don't consider that. She's in it.
It's not her movie. There's a couple. That was one I left off because I thought it might be on your list. Conspiracy Theory, I kind of like.
Yeah, I put that.
That's really my only also-ran.
I think obvious ones that we left. I mean, we mentioned Pretty Woman. I think Eat, Pray, Love was kind of the last big hit she's had on her own, I feel like. I feel like that's a definitive Julia Roberts movie. I like doing this when we do actor episodes because you look at careers and you look at choices they make and you think of Julia Roberts in the 90s, like, what do you think of? Probably Pretty Woman,
yeah.
Best Friend's Wedding, America's Sweetheart, like Notting Hill. You think of her as this like
romantic comedy type.
But then you look at the choices she made after Pretty Woman. She could have just done any romantic comedy she wanted. That was 1990. She didn't do another straight-up romantic comedy until 95 for Something to Talk About. So, I mean, she did Sleeping with the Enemy with action, Hook, Fantasy, Pelican Brief, I Love Trouble, which is action. And then after Something to Talk About, Mary Riley. Then she had a couple in a row and then Conspiracy Theory. But, like, she didn't really have a run. Notting Hill and Runaway Bride are the only, like, back-to-back romantic comedies she had. And she mixed it up a lot.
But the ones she does are generally well-received.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I think that's just how people, regardless of whether or not she continually makes those decisions.
No, and I'm not. I'm just saying,
right.
Like,
that's just what people
you
assume.
You think of 90s
right.
Julia Roberts, and you think of romantic comedies, and you think that she had this run where that's also, but then you look at it, it's like, oh, she did, like, everything mm-hmm. in that time frame. And I just thought that was interesting because that just jumped out to me because I think of her and I think like, oh, she had in my head
a solid decade.
Pretty
where,
Woman, yeah. Notting Hill, America's Sweetheart. Those are all within like a 5-year
off
frame.
One set.
They're
to the
not.
Next.
That's a yeah. That's over a decade. Which I mean, that's still a handful in a decade, but tons of other movies in that same frame.
From we would say America's Sweetheart from the 90s to maybe America's Sweetheart from was it 2015
last year
or was it last year and that would be
Lin-Manuel Miranda
yeah
and The Rock.
Yes, Lin-Manuel Miranda and The Rock, always America's Sweethearts. But a movie that features both of those folks, Moana, we're gonna do next week. Coco comes out in theaters, so we're gonna run down another Disney jam, and Moana from last year. It's on Netflix now, and it's actually not too bad.
It's really really good, and I'm excited to like,
yeah, we watched it on our own independently long before we decided to do this episode, so we
and
may
I
watch
listen to
it
the
for
soundtrack
refresher.
Like, it's really really good, so I'm excited to do that movie.
We've got a couple cool ones coming out to round out November. Moana next week, and then our favorite James Franco movies.
I'm excited
the
for
week
that
after
one.
That yeah that one's
I don't know
be,
how,
I
that that's
fun.
One sometimes we do ones where it's like, I don't know if I can come up with 5 Jack Black movies. And then there's ones where it's like, how can I limit it to 5 James Franco movies? That might be one of the hardest lists I've ever done. Because even his...
The real Sophie's Choice.
I could probably do a 20 favorites James Franco movie. Without looking, I could probably list 20 movies that I love.
Do you want to take some Franco also rans and put them on the Jack Black list?
Let's do 2 Franco lists.
Fair enough. To find out what movies don't make the cut... In Dave Franco.
Oh, I'm going to mention them all.
There will be some Dave Franco movies on there, too.
We're going to talk Scrub Season 9.
Check back with us in a couple weeks for our favorite James Franco movies, preceded by our discussion of one of our favorites from last year, Moana, recently discovered favorites of last year. But until then,
keep it up.